Howard University is offering buyout packages to 16% of faculty and staff. When students missed a tuition deadline ahead of fall semester, it disenrolled several hundred of them. It's all because Howard is facing some serious financial challenges. But the school is far from alone. American colleges and universities are seeing a drop in enrollment. Demographics is one reason why. Two others, a big loss of foreign students and reduction in federal funding since the start of the second Trump administration. And the problem is not going away anytime soon. Experts say higher education in the United States is entering an unprecedented new reality. That's one of our top stories at the Christian Science Monitor. Good morning. It's Friday, August 14th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. I'm Matthew Bell in Boston. Up first, we've got a curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. A federal judge dismissed the Trump administration's anti-Semitism case against Harvard University. In a March lawsuit, the government argued that Harvard violated Title VI, which bans discrimination in federally funded programs, by turning a blind eye to anti-Semitism on campus. A federal judge in Boston sided with Harvard and threw out the case, describing the incidents detailed in the suit as too isolated to prove that Harvard violated Title VI. The suit had detailed only three incidents of alleged anti-Semitism after the 2023-2024 school year, the judge wrote, when pro-Palestinian protesters set up encampments at universities nationwide. The U.S. ambassador to Israel condemned a standoff in a West Bank village by armed Jewish settlers. The settlers surrounded several Palestinian homes, including one owned by a Palestinian American, for five nights and prevented residents from leaving. Ambassador Mike Huckabee said it was a, quote, act of terror meant to intimidate and harass this family, and he said it was disgusting. The harassment is part of a recent surge of violence and intimidation by Israeli settlers against Palestinians. Also, Andy Green set a land speed world record for hydrogen-powered vehicles. The former Royal Air Force pilot drove the British-manufactured JCB Hydromax at 406 miles an hour. At the Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah. Mr. Green also holds the overall land speed record of 763 miles per hour, having broken the sound barrier in a jet-powered car in Nevada in 1997. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Who suffers when AI gets things wrong? In Brazil, where fighting crime is a top priority, the use of facial recognition technology is exploding, even though the legislature is still working on laying out clear rules. Contributor Constance Malloray reports from Rio de Janeiro for The Monitor. European countries are determined to press ahead with greener energy policies as extreme heat, drought, and energy shortages hit the continent. But a new green realpolitik is slowing them down. Ned Temko writes from London for The Monitor. Colleges are cutting programs and staff heading into a new school year. They're under pressure from falling enrollment, reduced federal support, and a loss of international students. iReporter reports for The Monitor. Authors increasingly use AI tools to craft their work. As book publishers struggle to set guidelines for AI use, readers vent their concerns about transparency and quality. Some observers say a new social contract is needed between readers and authors to instill confidence. Cameron Pugh reports for The Monitor. In a country where war reshaped daily life, the simple act of climbing becomes something larger. It's a way to regain confidence, reconnect with nature, and share a moment of joy. Contributor Adri Salido reports from Monte Rosa, Syria, for The Monitor. Check out our photo essay at csmonitor.com/daily. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on taking heed of nature's chorus and of each other. Each year, as summer winds down in the United States, outdoor enthusiasts make the most of weekends to walk, bike, or hike, taking in awe-inspiring landscapes. These days, with the gentle urging of an unlikely ensemble of scientists and artists, more Americans are also discovering another joy, tuning in to soundscapes. Sound walking, exploring the environment through attentive listening, is drawing quite the following. In Chicago, the Midwest Society for Acoustic Ecology holds annual sound walks in public parks, led by artists and naturalists. These events bring awareness to the experience of listening, according to program director Noe Cuellar, enhancing our sense of place, moment, and shared experience. We all listen differently, and when we listen together, we discover new ways of listening, he wrote after the 2025 event. The concept of sound walking has expanded greatly since it was first introduced in the 1970s by a Canadian musician and composer. Using rudimentary technology, scientists have since recorded and identified numerous languages in the natural world, among elephants, blue whales, even tree roots. This century's rapid advances with smaller, cheaper, and more sensitive instruments, as well as the ability to store and share millions of recordings online, have widened access to what's been described as nature's biophony. Much like a symphony, a biophony comprises complex harmonies and rhythms performed by an orchestra of birds, animals, insects, plants, as well as wind, water, rocks, and soil. Many of these sounds, inaudible to humans until now, communicate intriguing and often important meaning. California-based audio ecologist Bernie Krause was among the first to capture the changing soundscape of a forest after selective logging. Even though it appeared largely unchanged visually, his recordings confirmed that the rich soundscape of birds, critters, leaves, and branches degraded substantially. Environmental listening becomes a way of making declining biodiversity more tangible to the public and ultimately to decision makers, according to Jacek Smoliski, who introduced the Walking Festival of Sound in the Boston area this year during a fellowship at Harvard University's Art Lab. Where there are sounds, there are relations, he wrote in Harvard Design magazine, describing how indigenous or nomadic peoples relate to environmental sounds. To the Sami people of northern Scandinavia, Mr. Smoliski wrote, the loud roaring of the wind is not a disruption from which one should seek shelter, but the voice of the landscape. Listening to and interpreting that voice offers them clues to changing weather and navigation guidance. Mr. Krause has long asserted there is musicianship in the wild. Each species in an ecosystem, he has written, stakes out a sonic bandwidth to blend or contrast, much in the way that violins, woodwinds, trumpets, and percussion instruments stake out acoustic territory in an orchestral arrangement. Being both an eyewitness and ear witness to nature calls for patience, slowing down, and deep listening. Such traits help elevate interactions with the natural world and might do the same among neighbors, colleagues, and even political partisans. As Kathleen Dean Moore, a professor of philosophy and an environmentalist at Oregon State University, has written, to hear with thoughtful attention, to hold something close, to attend to it, to be astonished by it. To me, listening is starting to sound a lot like love. The Stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how there's a deeper spiritual reality that we can awaken to, where we find our relationships with one another forever harmonious. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case, Mackenzie Farkas, and Donald Keough. I'm Matthew Bell. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.